My name is Freeman, one of the elders in this church. Can you please hear me? It's too loud, isn't it? Is it okay? Hello? Is it okay? Okay, thank you. Shall we bow down here, even as we pray? Eternal Father, we have come before you. Lord Jesus, we have come before you. Spirit Divine, here we come with all humility. Speak to us. Your word gives life. It is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Minister to us. I am but a man. Let my brethren not hear the voice of a man, but your voice, Lord. Open the eyes of our brain that we may withhold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. It pleases the Lord that we meet this morning again and to hear his word. And I'm going to say something today, which probably is going to be something else. I had an uncle who was an educationist, and at his old age, when he drives, and people say, well, when he's driving, they can even walk and then get wherever they are going before he gets there. So whenever he wants to drive 30 miles per hour, he asks everybody to wear their seatbelt because he believes 30 is a very great speed. And obviously, people think that can also be uncomfortable. Or he thinks it can be uncomfortable. Sometime in the preaching world, you may hear certain things which may make you uncomfortable. But I think it is for our good. If we think of a blacksmith, he puts the metal in the fire, gets it out, use a hammer to hit it, then put it again, bring it out several times, that process is done. Why? Because he wants the best out of that metal, because that part is so important to him. And when we look at the world, things are changing. And the passage we had read is a warning and an advice to us all. And for me, I look at it as a warning from our brother Apostle John. So having said that, it means we are continuing in the series of the book of John. That's why I said the blasphemy is constantly going in that direction. So we are still going through the book of John, the apostle, for a particular reason. To iron out certain things out of our life, to get ourselves acquainted with God, to get ourselves to where God wants us to be. And with that, we all knew that we were once lost, and now we are found. And he was addressing believers, Christians, or let me put it this way, children of God. Who are the children of God? Sometimes when you say children of God and people are not children of God, people feel uncomfortable with it. But let me remind you, John chapter 1, the verse 12 says, as many as receive him, to them gave him power, the right, the authority to become children of God. Therefore, any human being on earth who has not given his or her life to Christ, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, heaven does not see that person as a child of God. That person might be a creation or God's creation, but it is none of his. So as you sit here this afternoon, listening to the sound of my voice, if you have never ever given your life to Christ, once again, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, this message might not be well with you, but you will have the opportunity to take a better step this very moment. And when we look, farmers, or any gardener, try to work in his garden on the crops. When the crops are not doing well, he puts manure or fertilizer or whatever you call it to get it well. Sometimes try to prune it so that it can bear fruit. And for a shopkeeper or a businessman, he brands the goods so that people can have their share, changes it. Sometimes the stocks are moved from one direction to another. So also, when God brings us to himself, he reconciling us to himself through Christ. It is for a reason, because that gardener is doing that so that he can benefit from it. God sending his son to redeem us from the curse of the law, from the dark world, from the life we were living, it is not for just for fun. It is for a reason. So when we look at this, I want to title today's sermon as Abiding in Christ Jesus. Abiding in Christ Jesus. That's why I picked that picture. So as a farmer with that fruit, it is for a reason, because he has worked on it. That's why that fruit can be seen. And the passage we read from John 2:28 through to chapter 3, the verse 10, there are a lot in there, and I cannot do justice to them all. There are a lot in there to take on as Christians to grow with, but I've just picked this part of abiding in Christ, which at least sum up the whole thing in a way. However, we proceed. But for us to get understanding of what I mean by this, or abiding in Christ Jesus, we'll be asking some questions. And in attempt to answer those questions, then we'll get to the bottom, and then we understand why Apostle John is asking us to abide or continue in Christ Jesus. What do we mean by abiding in Christ? How do we abide in Christ? When do we abide in Christ? What are the resources available for us so as to be able to abide in Christ? We'll be trying to answer those questions so as to proceed. And in Colossians 2:6, Apostle Paul renders another version of it, telling us that so as we receive him, we should abide in him. This means that when we accept Christ, when we get in, we should stay in. We shouldn't come out. Stay in what we believe. This is about relationship with Christ. When you enter a relationship, having a friend or whatever in a marriage, it is for a reason. But when you don't keep that relationship well, it is easy to come out. It is easy that that relationship will work. It will break. So for you to have a continuous relationship, you need to stay in so as to have that relationship work out. There might be challenges, there might be turbulence, but we need to stay in. As we have come to Christ, he searching for us, we didn't seek him, and bringing us to himself, we were not going to have it just as easy. There may be challenges, but we need to stay in. Once we get in, we need to stay in. That's what John was telling us, and Apostle Paul confirming this. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, we have been crucified with Christ, but not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in Christ, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We cannot get ourselves fruitful, or God cannot get anything out of us when we get out of the relationship. Therefore, we need to get bonded with Christ. We need to have a joint relationship, an understanding relationship, that we have an equal, or we can share in something that Christ has or God has to offer. What I mean by that is that when we join ourselves to Christ, there are benefits, so also there are challenges. It is easy to get out when we face challenges, but when we are enjoying the benefit, it is easy also to laugh and then forget about the past. And this is, I'm talking about a lasting intimacy A relationship that prolongs and has no ending. A relationship in which we see ourselves so that we can continue benefiting from God in spite of what we may face on the way. John 15:16, Jesus said, "We have not chosen him, he has chosen us, that we should bear fruit, that our fruit should abide, our fruit should last." The reason God sent his son to come for you and I into the kingdom of his son is that as we come, we should not just come and remain fruitless. Just as the gardener would expect to get fruit from whatever tree or fruit he has planted, so also God is expecting fruit from us. There are many people God has created, but only few are his children. Therefore, God is expecting both spiritual fruit and physical fruit. Spiritual fruit is what we bear as the fruit of the Spirit, and then the physical fruit is when we bring people to Christ. Using our skills, our talents, our gifts that has been endowed, so that we may be possibly bringing people to Christ. Someone might have prayed for you to change. Someone might have invited you to a program or to church. This is why you are here. But how long are we in Christ? What are our fruits? Do we have any fruit that we can prove? Or we can show to Jesus that when you gave me this opportunity, this is what I bring to you. What shall we give to such a faithful friend? He has been faithful. He has done his part. What are we doing? And as we go on, I want to mention that anyone who bear fruit must abide in Christ. We can't say we want fruit when we are actually not in Christ. We can be coming to church, I said it last time, but we may not be for the Lord. Are we connected? We should be connected with Christ. Are we joined with the Son? If we are joined with the Son, we can bear fruit. I want to take your mind back to your house or anywhere you have a garden. And then when you cut off any branch, give it a few hours, you see that it will wither. The reason being that it is not going to get any food from the original source, the main source. So after a few hours or a day, that's the end of it. Such a branch that you cut off cannot get food. For which reason? It wouldn't bear fruit. So also when you and I are not seated in Christ, we are not connected in Christ, we cannot bear fruit for the Lord. I'm going to read Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 14, the verse 45 and 46. Matthew chapter 13, the verse 45 and 46. This was Jesus speaking. And he said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he had found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." He sold everything he had and bought it. When God has found you and I wandering in the desert, wandering in the areas where Satan has captured, God looked left and right, and there was no other option than to sell all that he has. He has only one begotten son, and he gave him up for you and I. He sold all. So that you and I can come back to him. That is what God has done. That's what God did. So on the cross, you see Jesus being hung instead of you. You see Jesus being hung instead of me. He took away our sins. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, He took away also our curses. So we were to pay the penalty of our sins, the consequences of our sins. But Jesus gave us that divine exchange. Why? Because there was no other way. We all know the story in the past, in the Old Testament, when people sin, they need to atone for that sin with the blood of the lamb and goats. But if you sit down to assess yourself from the first day of January till today, the sins you might have committed in thought, in deeds, and then amount how much a goat costs, will you be able to pay to atone for your sin? But Jesus did it only once. God set us into a place where He deserves our glory. He gave us the opportunity to come in. And when we come in, we are to remain in Him. We are to abide in Him, because by that He will also benefit. No businessman will enter a joint venture looking or knowing very well that he will lose, and then he will send his money in. Nobody will do that. They aim at minimizing costs and they maximize profit. God has the chance to forget about us. Jude 6, Bible says, not the angel he saved. He could have saved the angels when they sinned, but then he went on saving human beings. That was a sacrifice. He did that by setting forth his son. Why would Jesus, our God, did this? He did this so that he will be glorified. In John 15:8, the Bible says that whenever we abide in Christ, God will be glorified. Whenever the farmer has fruit coming into his garden on that tree, it's nice to see. It's lovely. You saw the first picture I put on the PowerPoint. It looks nice to me. And when you go to your garden or friend's garden, or you look to somebody's garden, you see some of the fruit coming, and then they look very beautiful. So also God wants us to look beautiful in Him. As long as we abide in Him, we continue being in Him, we will look shining. Because the glory that we lost has been returned to us. But mind you, the fruit can only come when we continue being in Him. I'm going to answer why Apostle John wants us. Because he knew that we have a hope. What hope do we have when you are seated here? When you are not seated in your house, somewhere enjoying the weather? Because you have the hope that there is a heaven. The hope we have is the kingdom of heaven. This is why when we lost a loved one, we mourn, but not as those who do not have hope. Because the hope we have is that one day we will meet again. So there is heaven. This is why we are seated here today. So John is warning us so that the hope we have will not dash it away. If you have a hope that something will be well, you continue maintaining it. You turn it around. We go to doctors when we are not well because we have the hope that the doctors will help us get well. The doctors help us because they also have the hope that it shall be well. We go to school. Teachers teaches us because they have the hope that one day we'll become someone that will be fruitful, helping the country and the nation. Parents send their children to school because they hope that after going through that process, they will not become a burden to themselves, but they will be on their own, paying their own bills and supporting themselves. That is the hope we have. John was telling us this because in these our days, Deception is on the increase. Everywhere. In workplaces, even in the churches, we try to deceive one another. When Jesus was questioned by the disciples, when he talked about the signs of his coming, the first sign Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24, the verse 4, is that, "Watch ye therefore that you do not be deceived." But now, here we are. Deception is in every corner. And it is on the increase. So John, knowing this, he is forewarning us. He is giving us a caution that we should be aware that deception will be on the increase. Therefore, the only way to escape deception is what? To abide in him. To remain in him. To continue being in Christ Jesus. Another reason why John warns us is because Satan has now sugarcoated everything. Now, things you and I knew some time ago that were sin is now tend to be not no sin. They give it all kinds of names. They call it all kinds of names so that it will appeal. And then the worldliness, things are changing. The way people dress, the way people do things is no longer a shame to them. So that as we look into the world, Satan is already trying to control this world. This is why John is warning us to watch out. And because the road to heaven, people think it's very, very wide. So they can live any reckless life, any careless life, and yet they will make heaven successfully. This is never true. The road to heaven is very slippery, and it's not wide as some think. Some people think that once saved, forever saved. It's never true. Otherwise, Bible wouldn't advise us that we should work on our salvation with fear and trembling. So in Acts chapter 14, the verse 22, Apostle Paul also advises that we must enter the kingdom of heaven. We must, with much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. It means going to heaven is not just going to be an easy road, whereby it's just going to be something that you find, well, easy. But it's going to be with what? Tribulations, afflictions, troubles, persecutions, trials, oppositions will come. So as a believer or someone who is called by Christ, when you come to church, the best place Satan will tempt you is within the church. He knows very well that when he tries any trick, any of his dirty trick on the outside, you consider that person as an unbeliever and you'll not be bothered. But in the house of God, he will plant people who will try to cut you out. Either by their attitude or ways. Or some criticism to get you discouraged. So John is forewarning us that the best way to avoid that is to continue being in Christ. And Apostle Paul also is advising that it is going to be a very difficult road. You know, when you have a car or you are traveling and you know the road is very lengthy or rocky or there will be turbulence, you prepare yourself. Even in the plane, when there's going to be turbulence, the pilot informs us so that you get yourself ready for any action. So this is an advice John is giving us today, that we should abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And already we have the spirit of Antichrist in the world. His signs are there. You see one thing or the other and you think the world is coming to an end. If you read Matthew chapter 24, a lot of signs that Jesus has mentioned has already passed. But the end is not yet. And because of the Antichrist spirit, people live anyhow, they do things anyhow. So that if you are not careful, as a child of God, you'll be tempted to condone and connive with them. You'll be tempted to follow. Because it is even within the church. This is why we have the false prophets. We have the false teachers. And people take scripture out of context and tell a different story. And they say scripture. You might be enticed by it and lured into something else. But the best way is when you abide in Christ, it is easy to identify it. This is why we have that warning. So you see that in the verse 28 of John, 1 John 2, the reason why he's warning us is that he doesn't want us to be ashamed. Definitely Jesus is coming again. The last chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, three times Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A prolonged hope, which is not being realized, can make you sick. John the Baptist has preached that the kingdom of heaven is at hand many, many years ago. Jesus and his disciples has preached. So sometimes you come to the house of God and you think, well, if Jesus is even crawling, he would have been here by now. Don't be deceived. 2 Peter 3, 9 said that because he doesn't want the wicked people to what? Perish. Therefore, a prolonged hope which is not being realized will surely be realized. And because the road is slippery, if you consider our journey from here to heaven, put it in mind, as the Israelites were journeying from Egypt to the promised land, they faced many, many obstacles. They were thirsty, they were hungry, and they began to murmur against God and against Moses. But John is telling us this so that we will not murmur against our ministers and God. The worst part is when we are going through some challenges of life, either financial or health, it is easy to ask God, why me? It is easy to criticize God. Is it the reason why you saved me? Some people might be doing well when they are not Christians, but when they come to Christ, everything scatters and they lose everything. They may be tempted to criticize God, to murmur against God. If you are in such a position, John is advising you this afternoon that it is not right for you to murmur against God, neither the leaders of the church. All you need to do is continue to be in Christ. Don't give up that hope. Don't leave the church. Many times when I see people leave the churches, and it's a Bible-believing church, one question I do ask is, when they mention that because of so and so that they have left the church, I do ask them, is that person the one who saves you? If Jesus, who saves us, has not left us alone, has not given us up, why should we give up on him? Why should we quit his presence? Continue being in Christ. Abide in Jesus. Are there any resources available if we want to abide in Christ? We need some resources so that we can continue being in Christ, because the road is slippery. There are challenges. There are tough times that will come. I believe each and everyone listening to the sound of my voice has at one point of time in life experienced a challenge, a trouble, a situation that he cannot understand. Certain things may happen to you, your friend, your family, or a known one, and you sit down for days, weeks, and nothing. You hear nothing. Sometimes you pray, you fast, and there is no answer. You are not the first, neither will you be the last. All we need is to abide in him. Because sufficient provision has been made for us so that we can abide in Christ. Just as the farmer has put more manure on that tree, so that they, and trying to prune, trying to work around it, so that that fruit can grow. That tree can grow and bear fruit. One of them is the word of God. Psalm 119, the verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. So when we take in the word of God, we get clearer understanding of God. We get more light because our path becomes dark. So the word of God is a lamp that shines on our way, a light that shines on our way, and then a lamp so that our feet can see. And technology is on the increase, changing day by day. But are we using it to benefit us, or we are using it to the detriment of our soul? If we fail to read the word of God, we now have phones, iPad, tablet, and whatever. The Bible can be on it, and then we can play the word of God and listen. James 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So when our faith is going down, the more we hear the word of God, the more our faith will be built up. So that's one of the resources God has given us. And the word of God is God's breath anyway. So when we read, when we listen, we are actually taking in the breath of God so as to revive our soul. That is one of the tools God has given us to abide in him. Philippians 2:10. The name of Jesus is another tool. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So that Satan that is roaring like a roaring lion, even though he's not, fears the word of God. Even Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, did not go for AK-47. Neither did he call friends to come and help him. Neither did he chase his pastor. Pastor, this is the problem I'm having. Come to my house. There's a demon, there's a devil in my life. But he used the word of God. How many times do we use the word of God in a situation? That is God's provision for us, so that Satan can bow to it. Satan doesn't fear your husband or your wife, neither your child or your father, neither your prime minister or queen, neither the secretary general of the United Nations, nor your doctor. But he fears the word of God. He doesn't fear the preachers. He doesn't fear the pastor. He doesn't fear anyone. He doesn't fear what kind of atomic bomb or weapons of mass destruction you have, but he fears the word of God. So the Bible says, James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee. So when we submit ourselves to God, the word of God, we are able to use the word of God against that situation, and we will see the back part of Satan himself. Another tool heaven has given us is the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So when there was war in heaven, when Satan caused trouble and tried to make coup d'etat for God Almighty, for position that he can never, never, ever, ever get, God didn't fight with him. Jesus didn't fight with him. Satan was an archangel. The other angels fought with him. How did they get him out? With the blood of Jesus. When was the last time you used the blood of Jesus in a situation? It has been given to us. It has been provided to us. Let's use it. If we don't use it, it is like we have a key in our pocket standing in front of the door, and that the key is for that door, and we are shouting, door open, door open, door open. Anyone passing by will see our stupidity. So angels, most of the time, are surprised when we encounter situation and we are not using the blood of Jesus, because they know it has been given to us. Jesus said, behold, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Behold, I give unto you power. This is what Jesus said. So the blood is available. Let's use it. That That's one of the resources that has been given to us. Another is fellowship with the sanctified brethren. That's one of my favorite Bible verses, Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man's countenance sharpens the countenance of his neighbor. What is happening here is that most often we get into trouble because of our choices, the friends we have. Sometimes we think we are clever. You see, God, and we don't like our parents. You see, we have not been given the opportunity to choose our parents. But we don't like them. Say, God, why is this my father? Why is this my mom? Sometimes we think that way. But we can see how foolish and stupid, excuse me for my word, we are when we take friends and they disappoint us or put us into trouble. It is only when the trouble comes that we can see that it is better to trust God than to trust our knowledge. Bible says, as the heaven is far from the earth, so is God's mind. So we can never get there. We can't be like God. He's wiser than we are. So let's ask him to help us to choose God-fearing friends, Bible-believing friends, people we can trust, people we can pray with, we can have communion and fellowship with. That's what God provides us. So when we come to church, it is better to have friends in the church rather than to see that person who does not know Christ, who has not given his life to Christ, as the best person than that believer in the house of God. Sometimes people who do not know Christ, they seem faithful than the believer sitting beside you. But Bible is saying that our life can be influenced by those people we pick outside. But if we have a believer who loves Jesus, who fears the Lord, and is also abiding in Christ, it will be very difficult for us to get out. You know, Judas was able to betray Jesus because he was having friends outside most of the time. When they go to pray and go to meetings, he will not be found. You know, when Jesus was even going to be arrested, he was not there. They were praying, but he was not among them. He went somewhere. Is your favorite friend a believer in Christ? Think about it. Those are the resources God has given us. But why should God give us so much resources? It is because he knows the way is so difficult. Jesus has been on this earth in form of a man. He knows the trials. He knows the temptations. He knows the oppositions. He knows the turbulence of life. There were times, his opponent criticized him. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I tell myself that, look, I see the Pharisees, they have nothing to do. All they do is that they eat, and then they begin to look where is Jesus so that they can criticize him, they can accuse him. That's what I think most of the time. So there are people there, because Jesus is not from this world, and we are not also from this world, there is nothing you ever do that they will be happy. Because Christ's mark is in you. It's on your forehead. Bible says we be sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they see you. They know who you are. Therefore, when you are coming to the office, they have a plot. They have a plan. But when you abide in Christ, that plan, those efforts are already thwarted. Psalm 2 verse 2 to 4, it said, the world and its people kill. They have made a plot, but God is seated in heaven and is just laughing. Why would God laugh when they plot against you? Because he knows those plots can never work. Those dogs that are barking at you, they are toothless dogs. They can't bite. But that can happen only when you abide in Christ. These are the resources given to us. Imagine I'm sending you to Manchester and I give you £100. It means I am expecting you to take either a coach or a train, but not a bicycle. You have enough money to take a train or a coach, but if you go with a bicycle, you struggle to get there. It's dangerous. So we should not resort to cheap things, but we should resort to Christ-likeness. We should resort to what? Abiding in Christ, living in Christ, continuously stay in Christ. This is what John is advising us this afternoon. He expects that everyone that Christ has bought with his blood, because God looked left and right and had no other choice than to sell everything he has, that only begotten son, so as to buy us from the slavery market, everything that we have now should be for his. We are joined as of, with Christ. Therefore, we must bear that fruit. If you have a child and the child is going to school and then you gave him some money or pack lunch and then the child comes back and then the money is still in his or her pocket or comes back with the pack lunch, I believe no parent will be happy. It happens today, the next day, and that's what happens always. You'll be worried. The gifts, skills, talents, abilities that God has endowed us with, God is not expecting them in heaven. The gifts has been given to perfect the saints. But we can only get the gifts when we abide in him, when we are locked up in him, when we are connected in him, when we are joined with him, when that relationship with him is going smoothly. It is only that then that the fruit can blossom. It can be beneficial. This is what God is expecting. John knows that too well. Apostle Paul said the same. My brother and my sister in Christ, I urge you by the mercies of God that if today you realize this is sincerity, that you are not connected with Christ, you are not in Christ, you live your life anyhow, you are not living for Christ. There are certain things we do, and it's not a sin, but because it wouldn't please Jesus, we need to stop. Jesus wouldn't like it. The way we look at people, the way we talk to people, the way we reason to people, with people, the way we dress. Bible says our life is a letter written to the unbelieving. So because of the unbelievers, sometimes we can walk on the street anyhow. But the dress you are wearing, is it not exposing God's glory? Your mindset, the way you think about people, the eye with which you look at people, the fingers and feet with which you speak, is it glorifying Jesus? Would Jesus do the same? When we abide with him, when we abide in Christ, our life should change. Our life should not be the same. If no fruit is coming, it's a sure sign that we are not connected. If you plug your phone or electric iron and then the iron doesn't get hot, surely there is something wrong. Either the fuse is blown or the iron is spoiled. If you switch on the light like we have here and nothing comes, then it means that there's force somewhere, either the bulb is blown or fused or whatever it's called. So it is, we can assess, we can take stock of our life. The businessman takes stock periodically. If we take stock of our life, how long have I been a Christian? December 2017, we made a vow. We spoke to God. You said, God, if you cross me over, I'll be like this. I'll do this, I'll do that. Yes, we are in July now. Half is gone. Very quick, very fast. Surprisingly, very fast. And July is almost gone now. When you sit down, not with your partner, alone, being sincere with the Lord, if you are not bearing fruit for the Lord, it's a sure sign that you are not connected. You are not in Christ. If we are in Christ, the fruit must come. How many people have you invited this year? From January to now, have you spoken to someone about Christ? But you eat. You breathe freely. If meter has been put on our nose, we couldn't have paid. It's free. We move on. Oxygen, we have it free. Freely we receive, freely we should give. The gifts are there. Brethren, let's tear them up. They are for a reason, but it can only work when we are connected, when we abide in him. It is a continuous relationship. God bless you in Jesus' name. We're going to pray now. Shall we bow down and sit as we pray? Our Father and God, we once again acknowledge that we are not looking things in the right perspective. Sometimes we err. Many occasions we think we are right, doing the right thing, whereas we are not. We humbly come before you. Purify us, purge us, sanctify us, because we do not want to be ashamed when you return. We want to go home with you when you return. Lord Jesus, you are coming for sheep without wrinkle. You are coming for souls that are prepared for you. You are coming for people that are in you. Christ Jesus, strengthen us. Spirit divine, visit us. Change our life. Impact our life. Direct us in the right direction. Open the eyes of our brain. Help us to see where we have gone wrong. Give us the desire to read your word. The hunger and thirst after you. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray each, anyone, any believer who has been entangled one way or the other by any orchestrated plan of the enemy, Father, be released now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee, including that of Satan, must bow. This hour, we humbly bow before you. We worship you. From the bottom of our heart, we say you are Lord. We declare with our lips and tongues that Jesus, you are Lord. Be the Lord of our lives. Be the Lord of our life. Be the Lord of our life. Never again shall we return. We will not look back. We will continue looking unto the cross. May the world go behind us. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, may your visitation be great this afternoon. Holy Spirit, yes, touch in each and every heart that is listening to the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit Divine, we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.